Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
My phone was blowing up over the weekend because something big happened on Friday, and that is that the Michigan Supreme Court ruled on a case where I actually went and watched the oral arguments take place here in Michigan because the Institute for Justice was representing the couple at the center of the case, and the court came down, I believe, on the wrong side on this one. So we're going to get into this quite heavily. Some of the story here is from the Associated Press, but some of it I'm going to read directly to you from the opinion itself that the Supreme Court wrote. And the headline is Michigan Supreme Court rules against couple in dispute over privacy and drone photos of their land. The Michigan Supreme Court unanimously ruled in favor of a local government in a dispute over a drone taking pictures of a rural salvage yard without permission of the landowners. Several groups had closely watched the case, even joining together to urge the court to throw out evidence collected by Long Lake Township. The couple is the Maxons. They'd argued that the aerial photos violated the right to not have unreasonable searches because the township did not go get a warrant to do the search. They just simply went and flew the drone overhead and did that. The Supreme Court said the fight over excessive junk on the heavily wooded parcel was a civil action, not a criminal case, and therefore the so-called exclusionary rule does not apply. As you probably know from watching the old TV shows, if the police come in and seize evidence unlawfully, a defendant can go to court and say, I want that stuff excluded from my trial because it was seized unlawfully, violation of my Fourth Amendment rights. And the whole point is that the courts years ago, about 100 years ago, actually said, if we don't exclude it, then what function does the Fourth Amendment have? If they can just violate the Constitution at will, what good is it? And so they said, well, we have to have something in there to deter them from violating this. So the court says, we decline to address whether the use of an aerial drone under the circumstances presented here as an unreasonable search in violation of the U.S. or Michigan Constitution. Without the photos and videos, the township would have had difficulty ensuring that the Maxons bring their property into conformity with its local zoning and nuisance ordinances, the court said in a decision written by Justice Brian Zara. The township in northern Michigan sent a drone over the property in 2017 and 2018. After neighbors claimed the Maxons were storing too many cars and other items, the township said the property was being turned into a salvage yard, a violation of an earlier lawsuit settlement. Now, that's a very, very brief summary of the case as put out by the Associated Press. But there's a few things I want to point out. So I'm going to go to the opinion itself. And this might be a kind of a deep dive, but I think it's important here. Because the court's own opinion says, this case has a long procedural history. In 2007, the township sued the couple for allegedly violating zoning ordinances by, among other things, storing salvage vehicles on their property. Parties reached a resolution of that litigation and memorialized it in writing. The resolution was favorable to the Maxons because the township agreed to dismiss the complaint with prejudice and not to bring any further zoning enforcement action based upon the same facts and circumstances that were revealed during the course of discovery and based upon the ordinance as it existed on the date of the settlement agreement. Mr. Maxon released the township and its representatives from any causes of action he may have had against them. Now that, of course, was a few years ago, 07. In 2016, neighboring residents complained to township officials that the Maxons were storing excessive junk on their property. But the interesting thing is that apparently you couldn't see inside their property from ground level. So I'm not sure what the neighbors claimed they were seeing because they can't see in because the township comes out and they can't see in either. And so I know one possibility is that the neighbors see stuff going into the property being brought in, for instance, but once it's in there, they can't see it. But they complained. The township hired a contractor to take aerial photographs and video of the property by using a flying drone. Aerial photographs and video of the property were taken on three occasions. Contractor remotely controlled the drone from an open area near the township hall. So the guy operating the drone was legally where he was allowed to be. And then the drone went up and then flew over this private property. In 2018, the township initiated the instant lawsuit alleging that by storing excessive amounts of salvage material on their property, the couple's use of the property was in violation of several zoning and nuisance ordinances. The township alleged the Maxons significantly increased the volume of materials stored on their property after the 2008 settlement agreement, and it sought to enjoin the salvaging activity, arguing that the property constituted an impermissible salvage yard. The township relied on the photographs and video taken from the aerial drone to support its case. The couple brought a pretrial motion to exclude the photographs and video, arguing they're a product of an unreasonable search in violation of the U.S. and Michigan constitutions. And just in case you're curious, that ruling was appealed to the Court of Appeals. That ruling was appealed to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court of Michigan sent it back down to the Court of Appeals, who then re-ruled on it, sent it back, and then the Maxons appealed that back up to the Supreme Court. That's why they were here now. But it's back and forth, back and forth, back. And the Institute for Justice has been involved in this. And so the real question, simply put, is can the township legally just fly a drone over your property for code enforcement? And this court is saying, well, if it's code enforcement that's not a criminal code, yes, they can do it. If it was a criminal law they're alleged to have broken, they couldn't do it. And I think that distinction fails, but we'll get there. The Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution and Article 1, Section 11 of Michigan's Constitution protect the people of Michigan against unreasonable searches. But neither Constitution prescribes a remedy for the unreasonable searches of persons or property. So in other words, it says that it shouldn't happen, but it doesn't say what happens if it does. So the courts created the exclusionary rule. I'm going to read to you a sentence that I underlined and bolded for my own edification. The exclusionary rule is a jurisprudential creation rather than a constitutional rule of law. Period. So I've mentioned before that the Supreme Court has invented a few laws. Qualified immunity is one, and the exclusionary rule is another. Now, most people agree that the exclusionary rule makes sense, that if you're not allowed to do something and you do it, there should be some kind of ramifications. The question is, what is the ramification? And so if you think about it in terms of cost-benefit analysis, pretty much all you can do is say either we're not going to let you bring that evidence in, or I suppose you could let the victim sue the officers, except for that qualified immunity. But so you're kind of stuck with keeping it out. And that makes complete sense. But one thing I'd like to point out in this case, and I wish more people latched onto it, is that these people were already in court. They entered into a settlement agreement, which the court then reviewed and entered as an order of the court. I've drafted countless of those. And all they had to do in this case was put into that agreement that we have the right to come on and inspect your property periodically to make sure you're conforming with the agreement. That's all they had to do. And I have a sneaky feeling that the couple would have said, sure. But they apparently didn't ask, and nobody thought to put that in there. Because if that had been put in there, let's suppose they said, we're allowed to come onto your property once or twice a year, pick a number, to confirm that you are following this agreement. And the couple says, yes, it's put in the agreement. Township inspectors can show up and go, hey guys, we're here for our once or twice, once or six month inspection, we're here to check out the property. And that would have completely gotten all the way around us. This wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have happened. But the real question is, okay, so that wasn't in there. How do they find out whether somebody's keeping an agreement like this? And they're saying, well, the only way we can do that is by drone. And that's what the court says, is basically like without the drone, they couldn't tell. But that gets you back to how much harm are you causing? Because remember, the primary problem that people have with an unlicensed junkyard, presumably, is it's an eyesore. But it's only an eyesore if you're watching it through a drone, because you can't see it from ground level. So, moreover, nothing in the history of the rule suggests that it bars the introduction of illegally seized evidence in all proceedings or against all persons. In fact, the history of the rule is that it is only applicable where the objective of deterring wrongful law enforcement conduct is most efficaciously met. Ultimately, reviewing courts must consider whether the rule's deterrence benefits outweigh the substantial social costs inherent in precluding consideration of reliable probative evidence. Recognizing that the objective of the exclusionary rule is to deter misconduct that gives rise to constitutional violations, the Supreme Court of the U.S. has repeatedly declined to extend the rule to proceedings other than criminal trials with very limited exceptions. There have been exceptions. So, for example, the Michigan Supreme Court and the U.S. Supreme Court have extended the exclusionary rule to civil proceedings. Both courts have applied the exclusionary rule to civil asset forfeiture cases. Such proceedings are known as quasi-criminal proceedings. Because, of course, the money's not going to get locked up, but it's being taken from somebody. But I would say that calling something quasi-criminal or calling it a code enforcement action, it still feels kind of like it's a criminal action because, now, no one's going to go to jail over this code enforcement issue, but fines and costs could be assessed, and then failing to do that, you could go to jail. But the conclusion that the court wrote is, we hold that the costs of applying the exclusionary rule in this case would outweigh the benefits. Applying the exclusionary rule would prevent the township from effectuating its nuisance and zoning ordinances, which is a serious cost. It would do so for little benefit, given that exclusion of the photographs and video here would not deter future misconduct by law enforcement officers or their adjuncts, proxies, or agents. And they are completely wrong on that. They're saying that if they were to exclude this material from this case, it won't affect anything. Oh, it will, but we'll get there in a second. We agree with the Court of Appeals because the Court of Appeals on the second occasion wrote that the exclusionary rule was not intended to operate in this arena. An application of the rule in this case would serve no valuable function except for the defendants and except for future people who are going to have their property overflown by drones, but operated by the government. We therefore affirm the judgment of the Court of Appeals and remand to the Circuit Court for further proceedings. So number one, the real screw-up here was by the parties not putting it in the original agreement to simply say we can inspect property from time to time. Whatever it might be, you put it in there. You wouldn't put the words time to time. I'm just simply glossing over that. However, and this question was asked at oral argument, and by the way, the attorney for the Institute for Justice was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. In fact, I wore a suit and tie that day. I'll put a picture up in the corner here of me with the team from the Institute for Justice who were in court that day. And the panel asked the attorney and said, do you honestly think that if we rule in favor of the township here, that the townships are all going to run up and buy drones and start overflying property? Something to that effect. And he said, yes. Of course they will. Drones ain't that expensive. And the prices are coming down. And when word gets out, by the way, word is now out. When word gets out that a municipality can fly a drone and inspect properties from above without getting any kind of permission or warrant or anything, and anything they spot from up there that is a code violation, they can act upon and use the drone evidence against the property owner. And it gets better. Because right now, some people are saying, Steve, I don't care. My property's in compliance. Oh. Always think of the unintended consequences. Think about what else can happen that will happen. And like a prophet foreseeing the future, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Townships out there will be having their drones buzz around looking for code violations because they can make money doing that. And what happens when they spot someone breaking the law? Well, they're code enforcement. They're not law enforcement. But now that drone footage exists. So you can turn the drone footage over to the police and go, look what we discovered. Right out there in plain view behind this house, someone breaking the law. Not a code violation, so we're not going to touch it. But would you like to touch it? And here's the thing. The police couldn't ask code enforcement to put the drone up and go search for something for them because then they'd be a proxy, as the opinion stated. However, the law tends to view evidence that people stumble upon as being okay as long as somebody wasn't pushed to stumble upon it. So you're going to have municipalities getting drones, just flying around checking homes. So now we will have more drones overflying our homes, just checking us out for whatever reason. And when they discover things that they think look suspect, they might just call up the police department and go, hey, we discovered something interesting. You might want to take a look at this. And then they can show them the drone footage that was shot without a warrant. And when they go to court and seek a prosecution on that, they can say, well, we didn't shoot the footage, so we didn't need a warrant. They shot it, and they didn't need a warrant because of this case. That's what's going to happen. And it will happen. And somewhere down the road, there's going to be another case pushing back on this exact same topic where the stuff was shot by a municipality doing code enforcement, but then somehow wound up in the police hands with law enforcement. That's my biggest problem here. But like I said, going back on this one, you say, Steve, you mentioned a couple of times the settlement agreement, not including the enforcement provision. Whose fault is that? That wasn't in there. And so if the township wanted to enforce this agreement, they should have put something in there that said, we have the right to come on your property and check it out from time to time. They didn't do that. That's on them. And that should have been on them here also, but it wasn't. And so the Michigan Supreme Court has occasionally made some very, very goofy rulings, and I believe this is one of them. And sadly, this was unanimous. So there you go. Michigan Supreme Court rules against couple in dispute over privacy and drone photos of land. Ed White wrote that for the Associated Press. A whole bunch of that was in the opinion itself. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Only those who risk going too far can possibly find out how far they can go.